Today's Shaila. Again, we're in Adar, and Purim is right around the corner. So let's talk about another Purim-related Shaila. And this one goes as follows. So it was the Purim, and a young man got drunk. He was in Bnei Brak, and he was carrying around with him a large bottle of glass vodka. And as he was dancing around the streets, having a good time, singing, screaming, so he ends up in an ice cream store, a Jewish-owned ice cream store in Bnei Brak. And he's a bit loud and disturbing. And it's a full of other people who are in the ice cream store looking to buy ice cream. It was a very big balagan there. And this boy is screaming and dancing, he's labedik, he's singing. And the owner of the store says, "Sir, you're disturbing me, disturbing the customers. Do you mind stepping outside?" And he didn't listen to the owner and continued on his way and singing, dancing, and screaming. And he warned him another time, "Could you please step outside?" And the boy ignored him. And then it got so bad, the owner slapped him across the face. And there was a sudden silence in the store. Everyone was in shock. It was a loud slap, supposedly. The boy woke up from his being drunk, and he realized that what had happened, he was just embarrassed in front of all the buyers there, the customers. And he decided to take his vodka bottle and smash the glass of the ice cream. There's glass shattered all of the ice cream in the ice cream. All the customers left. They didn't want to be involved in such a balagan. And so the balachanis, the owner, wanted him to pay for all the lost ice cream, the glass that was broken, and all the potential customers that he would have had and now had left the store because of what just took place. To which the bach responds, "Wait a second, you slapped me in the face. You embarrassed me in front of you. First, owe me boshes. You owe me embarrassment. You embarrassed me, number one. Number two is I'm only responding to you. You hit me first. I'm hitting you back. So I have no responsibility to pay you back." And that was the shaila. So, firstly, did the owner have the right to take matters into his own hand and hit the boy? That's question one. Does he owe boshes, embarrassment, to the bacher? And in turn, does the bacher now owe money for the damage to the ice cream, the glass, and all the potential customers because of the way he responded? So those are the shilas we're going to address. We're going to save questions until the end, after I leave. Okay. So let's begin on page number one, the Shulchan Aruch. There is a big discussion. I'm not going to go through the entire sugya, and there are many details and many shitas, but there's a concept called Ovid Inish Dina Denafshe. Ovid Inish, a person will do Dina Denafshe, his own judgment. There are instances where a person can take matters in his own hands, and sometimes there are instances where he's not allowed to take instances in his own hands. I'm not going to go through the Gemara and the Yishorim and the Acharim. There's a lot to talk about where you draw the line here exactly, but let's just go straight to the Shulchan Aruch as follows. Now, before that, I'm sorry. Before that, just to remind ourselves what we saw last time is, now, was the boy correct in his behavior? The answer, of course, is not. We discussed in the past that getting drunk, there's a mitzvah adilo yada, but when it gets to the point where it becomes irresponsible, it becomes damaging, so he has no right. He certainly acted irresponsible. There's no question about that. But will that now allow the owner to hit him and will make him responsible? So what he did was wrong. That's definitely wrong. And his Rebbe should tell him he did the wrong thing. But we're not talking about chinuch. We're talking about responsibility in Choshen Mishpat. So if you look inside page number one, the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, this is Simin Dalad all the way in the beginning in Choshen Mishpat. Simin Dalad, the Mechaber, tells you the following halacha. Yachol Adam Lasos Din Liatzmo. A person is allowed to take a din, take matters into his own hands. Imiroa shalo, if he sees his own objects, his own possessions, biyad acher, in the hands of somebody else, shegozel, that stole it from him. Yochol lekachto, he could take it miyado, take it back. He could take back the object that's his. Vim ha'acher omed kinegdo, if the ganav stands his ground and says, "I'm not letting you take it back from me." Yochol lehakoso, you can hit the ganav ad shanichenu until he drops it and releases your item. Important parentheses here. The Rama writes, "Im lo yuchal lahatzil binyan acher." If there's no other way to go about doing it, afilu hu davar shein bo hefzid. Even if it's not causing you a loss of money, he's holding your chair. So your chair doesn't cause you a loss of money. So even in those instances, if it's causing you a loss of money, there's merchandise that you could potentially sell to people, or it's going to go bad if he doesn't return it back, so then that's a loss of money. But even if there's no loss of money, he just took your chair away, if you have no other way to get it out other than hitting him, you're allowed to hit him. And im yamtin ad she'amidenu b'din, v'hu, meaning even if you want to wait to take him to Bezdin, and he won't cause a loss of money, I'll send a hazmana to him from Bezdin, it's going to take months, you don't have to wait for that. V'hu she'yachal levarish she'shalohu, no to b'din. So long as you could really ascertain that this is yours. So again, backtrack. If you have an item that's yours in someone else's possession that he stole, if you know with certainty that that's yours, it has your name on it or whatever other indications that you know that's certainly yours, and you have no other way to extract it from him, you say, give it back to me. He says, no. And you have no other means. You don't have to wait to get the Bezdin. You can pummel the guy if you'd want. If he's not a big guy, if you could be successful, you are allowed to do so, says the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the poskim say there are no distinctions. We're talking about a case of damage. This is a case of stealing. There's no distinction. This is just the example of the Gemara that if someone stole your item, you could take matters into your own hands. But if there's other obstacles that are there, he's going to damage your property, you could also take matters into your own hands. Certainly, if there's going to be a concern of loss, which is what happened. So he tried stopping the guy from throwing around his vodka bottle, and he figured he slaps him across the face, that would help stop. It turned out it wasn't the case, but he thought it slap across the face would send him out of his store. So in this case, it seems from all the poskim that everyone would be in agreement. If he tried to warn him and ask him to leave and he didn't, if the last resort is to hit him, one would be allowed to. Right now, that's the din. So I'll hold off to the questions. So now, are there or were there any options to send them out in a different way? So this sefer thought so. I'm not so sure if there was another option, but just to see an example of what another options are of avoiding having to hurt someone or hit someone. So take a look at page number 2 in the top source of the Gemara Baba Kama Daf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. And Tosos there on the side of the brackets is contrasting two cases. One case where if you're walking through your yard or a street and someone had laid down glass bottles, so in one instance, you're supposed to move them out of the way, don't damage them. In other instances, you could just walk right through and break them. So when do we say remove it? And when do we say just go and break it and not have to worry about his objects? He put the obstacle in front of me. Why should I have to take care of his objects? He put his glass bottles in front of mine. So when do you move it? And when do you have the right to break it and just walk straight through? The Tosas says a very important, very simple distinction. The Tosas writes, Mishaber v'yotze, you're allowed to sometimes break through the bottles and the kalim to make your way through. The afagav, even though le'el, earlier, aminan shahayalo l'shomto, we had a different scenario where we were told the person is supposed to remove the objects out of his way and not to break them. Haynu mishum deleka tircha b'shmita. Because the previous case that the Gemara was describing, there wasn't much tircha. There was one bottle, so just instead of knocking it over, move it to the side. There was no tircha. But in this case, but he had 50 bottles, to have to move each one over, that's a big tircha, walk right through. So the question is there tircha or is there not tircha? If you could have done something, if hitting was one option, and the other option was something with the equal amount of tircha, you should have chosen the option with the equal amount of tircha. But if the other option to remove him would have been great tircha, then you don't have to opt for the greater tircha. You could take the easier route. So in this particular sefer from this Bezdin thought that there could have been another route, an easier route. He thought that you could have just taken, dragged them out, which would have been an easy thing. Now, I don't know if that's so easy. A bachur, I don't know how big the bachur was. I don't know how strong it was. I don't know. He seemed pretty drunk. It's not easy to drag out a drunk person, schlep him out of a store. What with the age differences, could be the best and had more details than it was. So they felt that the store owner should have dragged him out, not have slapped him across the face. I can't attest to what was best or not. But according to that shot, that it would have been equal tircha to drag him out than to slap him across the face. The owner was wrong for slapping him across the face. And therefore, the owner embarrassed him unnecessarily, and the owner would have to pay boshes, the embarrassment of in front of all the customers. And that's where it stands right now. So he has to own, he holds boshes right now. Right now where it stands, the Baal Chanus owes boshes because he should not have taken that approach. He should have taken an easier approach, which again is you could contend it, but let's take that as a given. He owns Boshes. But the Baal Chanus is off the hook from Boshes. Why is he off the hook from Boshes? Because nowadays, we are not able, we don't have the ability, lacking Sanhedrin and other types of proper Bati Dinim, we don't have the ability to collect on all types of payments that are out there. So the Shulchan Aruch, if you look in the bottom of page number 2, the Shulchan Aruch just lists a few things that we cannot, as Bezdin, collect. One of them is Boshes. So he writes, page 2, the circle, Ozbez, Adam Shechaval B'chaveiro, person who hits somebody else, who normally owes 5 different amounts of payment, Nezek, Tzar, Boshes, and Sheves, Ein Migbin Dayanim She'enim Smuchim Be'aretz Yisrael, the Dayanim who are not properly received Smicha, which is everyone now, they don't collect Nezek, Tzar, Upagam, Boshes, V'kofer. We don't collect these items when it's Adam, L'Adam, Nizke Adam, a person is Chov B'chaveiro. We don't collect Nezek, we don't collect Tzar, which is a pain. We don't collect pagam. We don't collect boshes. We don't collect kofar. Aval shevet ripoy, medical costs, and out of work, we would collect whatever the reason is, not for now, right now. But either way, we don't collect boshes. So me'ikra din, the store owner would owe boshes because he wrongfully hit him. He could have taken a different approach, supposedly. But he's off the hook for a technical reason, which because we don't have smuchin in Eretz Yisrael in order to collect payment in this regard. So where we stand right now, the Baal Chanus is pater for a technical reason. Now, let's flip the script a little bit and focus on the individual, the Bachar, who caused the damage. Does he owe money now because he caused the damage? He broke the glass, he ruined the ice cream, and he caused the customers to go out. Is he chayv or is he going to pater? That's where we stand right now. Okay, we're good? So take a look now in page number 3. Page number 3, the Rush, has an interesting case. You have the Gemara, he quotes, in the Os Yud Gimel there, Shnei Shvarim, 2 oxen, Tamim, they're Tam animals, and they're din by a Tam, a sure Tam that causes damage, he pays half, Chati Nezek. If it's a Muad, he violated this, he gored 3 times, it would be Shalim, he paid the full amount, he'd be Meshur Muad. But here it's a sure Shnei Shvarim, Tamim, 2 Tam animals, they were having an attack. They're goring each other. The din is you assess the overall damage, and whoever was damaged more, you pay that amount to the owner, half of whatever is owned. So let's say sure A damaged $200, sure B damaged $100. So $100 of surplus was damaged to sure B. So that owner gets half of that surplus, $50. Again, you have to figure out the plus and minus, the difference of the damages. Whoever's owed more damage receives half the amount of damage in surplus. That's the din. So now the Rush qualifies this halacha. It's not every case where 2 oxen are fighting with each other that they always pay the half a nezek to the whoever got more damage. The Nir Ali writes the Rush. The Mairi, she'eschilu bavas achas. It's when they started attacking each other at the same time. They started just running each other in the same moment. They hit each other, banged heads, banged horns, and then we separate the two. We assess damage. Or, Chaval Hasheni, Gambarishon Lacharzman. Or, first Shur A, damage Shur B. 20 minutes later, Shur B decides to damage Shur A. Those are 2 separate damages. We put it all together in the aggregate and we assess the value. But, Aval Im Ha'echad, Hischil, if one started the fight, and Hamaschil, Misham Chatinezek, Vasheni Pata. In other words, let's say if they're running at each other at the same time, they're both responsible. If they were separate acts, sure A damaged sure B. Later on, it could be a different day. Sure B damaged sure A. They're both chayv because they're separate acts. But if they got into a fight that sure A instigated, he started the fight, sure A hit him, sure B's like, what are you doing to me? Sure B hits sure A back with his head and horns. In that case, says the Rush, the sure B, who is the victim, now defending himself, sure B is off the hook. He's defending himself. So that's a case of 2 oxen. Now move to 2 people. If you drop down, I should have bracketed. I apologize I didn't. In that same paragraph, go to the last 2 lines on that right column where we are. The last 2 lines, it says, V'chein shnei anashim. 2 lines from the bottom there. V'chein shnei anashim nami. 2 people who get into a fight. They start brawling. She'eschilu ka'achas. If they start hitting each other at the same moment, Oachazman or Reuven hits Shimon, and a couple days later Shimon hits Reuven, both those cases you have to assess, they're both responsible, and you have to balance out who hurt who more. Aval im hischil ha'echad, hasheni pater. If Reuven instigated, he started a fight, he dropped his gloves, and then he hit Shimon, Shimon's defending himself, Shimon hits Reuven back, Shimon's completely pater. He's just there to defend himself. That's what comes out from the rush. Now, we'll see how that's relevant for us in just a moment. Now, actually, let's plug it in this way you can think about it as we go through the Shulchan Aruch. This boy was hit across the face. He's there to defend himself. He's responding. He was upset. It's the very case that the rush is talking about, that he's defending himself. He should be off the hook completely. That's the comparison. So take a look what the Shulchan Aruch writes and what the Nosei Kalim write here. The Shulchan Aruch on page number 4 says, Shnayim shechavlu zebeze. You have two people who are brawling with each other. Im chavel ha'echad b'chaveiro, yos mima shechavl bo. If one causes more damage than the other, hu meshalim lebemoser nezek shalim. Now, by people, we spoke before by the oxen, there's such a concept as a tam, chati nezek. By Adam, Adam is what's called muad, the olam, always pays the full amount. So we have to assess, have they gone to a boxing ring, and whoever caused more damage, he pays the full amount of that difference to the other guy. V'davka, says the Shulchan Aruch, he used that same qualification from the rush. V'davka only, specifically, she'eschilu shneim kecher, they start attacking each other at the same moment. Oh, le'acher shechaval ze b'chaveiro, chazer gamhu miyad v'chavabo. After Reuven hit Shimon, it wasn't in the same moment. A couple days later, Shimon hit Reuven. We view them as two separate acts, and we put the sum together, the difference together. Aval im hischil ha'echad hasheni pater. If one guy started it, and the second guy is just responding in that same moment, that same brawl, hasheni is pater, sheyesh lo rishus l'sheni l'chavabo. He has every right to hit the guy back. Kedei lahatzil atmo, in order to save himself. That's a very key word. We didn't see those words in the rush. Kedei lahatzil atmo, in order to save himself, in order to protect himself. So there's a very key phrase here, and there's a subtle difference. I'm not going to go through it. It's a bit involved. But the Sma and the Taz and other postmen had the following discussion. Does the second guy, the victim, in our case, the Bachar, does he have the right to hit back only when he's saving himself? But what if he's not saving himself? What if he's not in danger? What if you're just responding because you're upset? It's natural, if you get hit, to hit somebody back. It's a natural response. So how do we understand the Shulchan Aruch? So it's a big, huge machlokes poskim, if it's only to save yourself, or it's even when you're upset and you're responding to the anger, the embarrassment. That's a big machlokes, and how do we poskim in this case is the big, big shaila. So what he writes down here, in the Sefer is as follows. So he says, the Sma says it's all dependent on the Shas Chimam, that when a person's upset, you have every right to respond. And the Taz says it's all about to protect yourself, only when it's Kedei Lahatzil, only when you're saving yourself. So now it's a big nafkamina. If you paskin like the Taz, it's only when you're trying to save yourself. So the Bachar wasn't saving himself. The Bachar should be chai for all the nezikin. But if it's because he's responding because he's so upset, so angry, and so embarrassed, then to be paskin that way, like the Sma, the din would be that he's off the hook. Because when a person gets hit, he responds with that. So that's the discussion, how do you paskin? So it comes out here as follows, is that in general, we had in the past many times, when it comes to Chosha Mishpat, we could say kimli. Kimli, I hold this way. If the money's in one person's possession, so he has every right to say, if it's a good shita out there, so the Bachar could say, I hold like the shita of the Sma, who holds that I'm allowed to respond, even though I'm not protecting, I'm not saving myself, but I was angry, I'm allowed to respond because I'm upset. I hold like the Sma, and the Sma is a very good shita, and therefore I'm off the hook. You want to take money out of me, but you have to prove to me that I'm wrong. So in Chosha Mishpat, wherever the money stands, as long as you have a good kimli, a good shita to grab onto, we leave things as status quo. That's how it comes. So that's what comes out. He would be off the hook, seemingly. But he brings down here from a sefer, a very important sefer in Chosha Mishpat, that he felt that the Sma's opinion, although the Sma all over Shulchan Aruch is a very important shita, and he's a very big posek. But sometimes when everybody else lines up against him, if he's standing alone as a das yachid on an island by himself, even the sma can be considered not appropriate to say kimlim. In other words, you can't do research and find some das yachid to be kimli. It has to be a very significant shita. So oftentimes, if it's someone you know, the sma, the shach, the taz, those are usually good people you could latch onto. But there are instances where even these great poskim like the shach, taz, and the sma, if they are really standing all by themselves and isolated, sometimes we say you can't say kimli. So in the end of the day, he quotes this sefer that says that Mishpat Mazik, who holds that the sma is not a shita you could grab onto and say kimli, and for that reason, it would seem that the bacher would be chayiv to pay. Because the only time you're putter when you're defending yourself is when you're trying to save yourself. That's why he paskin now. He wasn't saving himself. That's the din.
Yeah.
Right.
He didn't respond the right way.
Unclear. Kedela Hatzil Asmo. I don't think he thought his life was in danger in any way. Has to be in danger. So therefore, he seems that he was wrong. And the end of the day, if we don't hold to the sma, it turns out he would actually be chayiv in this. So I go.
Yeah,
we said if he's drunk, it doesn't make a difference, even though he did the wrong.